hey, Jaya Jaya Madhava Jaya Jaya. Raj, hey, Jaya Jaya Madhava Jaya Jaya. Kula Charuni Pandalam Mahi Jaya. Charuni Mandala Maite Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Jaya Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Jaya Pardana Veje Adis Kutabrenda Vipineshe Ramudavurate Pardana Veje Adis Kutabrenda Vipineshe Rade Jaya 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 Madhava Jaya Jaya Vishwamudhari Namashashi Leke Lapita Saki Guna Ramitavi Shake Vishwamudhari Namashashi Leke Lapita Saki Guna Ramitavi Shake Hey, Jaya Jaya Madhava Jaya Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Jaya Karunam Kurumaye Karuna Baite Sanata Sanatana Varnita Chorite Karuna Bharate Sanata Sanatana Manita Jarite Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Jaya Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Jaya Charuni Mandala Mahite Kukula Charuni Mandala Mahite Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Jaya Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava
Go back down, written down, yeah, you're straight.
did all I've got written down. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Jai Om Vishnupad.
Param Sapara Vidakajorya Osita Satashi Shimad.
His Divine Grace Abhaya Charanada Bhakti Vananda Gosami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananda Goti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Param Seko Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sivaita Gadadha Shiva Sadhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Gijai Shri Shri Radhakrishna Govigopatna Saima Kunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Gijai Vrindavan Gijai Maturam Gijai Jagannatha Swami Gijai Yamunamai Gijai Shimani Lassi Devi Gijai Samveda Bhakta Vrinda Gijai Gaura Premananda Hari Hari Go. All glory is the assembled devotees, all glory is the assembled devotees, all glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is to Shri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premananda, Dama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale. Srimati Bhakta Vedanta Swamini Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Pracharini Vivashesha Shunyavadi, Paschacha Deja Tarani. So, Om Ganata Madanda Shah Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuna Meditam Yena Tasmai Shigurve Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. Okay, so we're going to continue with our study of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And we're hearing about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's tour of South India, and we're coming up to the point where Lord Chaitanya is going to discuss the finer aspects of Krishna consciousness with Ramananda Roy. And we just finished with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visiting the Singhachalam Temple. And so, maybe before class, we'll just show some pictures which I've prepared of Singhachalam. Okay, here we go. This is not Singhachalam, that's me at Singhachalam. And here's our group of devotees at Singhachalam. Very hot in South India, drinking Dobbs coconut. And this is the entrance to the temple. Beautiful carved pillars, as you see here, in the temple of Singhachalam. This temple is actually thousands of years old. This is the village at the bottom, the temple, or the Gopuram, the doorway on the way to the temple. And pictures of the deity, and anyway, there's us at the top. The It's me in a previous incarnation with a youthful body. This is 20 years ago. Walking up to the top, getting in the mood of Lord Nrsingadev with all the devotees. And as I said yesterday, the entrance to many of the villages in Andhra Pradesh, you'll see giant Hanuman statues. And Gopurams are quite interesting. Gopuram means like a doorway. Here's a Lord Nrsingadev doorway to a Nrsinga temple. Very interesting. And here's the inner sanctum. And Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet are installed by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur because Lord Chaitanya visited this place as we're reading the Chaitanya Charitamrita. You see these beautiful temple carvings, exquisite, carved in stone on the outside of the temple. Amazing. So much devotion these bhaktas, these devotees had. See the temple carvings? Okay. And there's Lord Nrsingadev. Carving of Lord Nrsingadev in the temple. There. Okay. All right, so we will stop sharing and then we'll go on to the Chaitanya Charitamrita now. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, and in the future maybe we'll take another trip of South India with the devotees. Anyone who's brave enough. You have to be very brave. We have a bravery test before you're allowed to go. Because it's not for the faint-hearted. Okay, so let's go. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. So previously we've heard Lord Chaitanya recite some of the verses written by Sridhara Swami, one of the original commentators on the Srimad Bhagavatam, about Lord Nrsingadev, half man, half lion. Okay, let's go. Ugraopyanugrahi vayam svavakanam rikeshari keshari vasvapottanam Anyesham Ugravikramaha. Although very ferocious, the lioness is very kind to her cubs. Similarly, although very ferocious to non-devotees like Hiranyakashipu, Lord Nrsingadev is very, very soft and kind to devotees like Prahlad Maharaj. This verse was composed by Sridhara Swami in his commentary on the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam 7.9.1. And we know that Prahlad Maharaj was able to pacify Lord Nrsingadev after Lord Nrsingadev had killed all the demons, and even the demigods were afraid of Lord Nrsingadev. And Prahlad Maharaj sat on the lap of Lord Nrsingadev, and Lord Nrsingadev licked him like one's cat licks the master. Of course, cats usually don't have a master, but that's another point. They're very independent. Matanana shloka padi stuti kaila nishinga seva gamala prasadana anidila. In this way, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recited different verses from the shastra. The priest of the Lord Nrsingadev then brought garlands and the remnants of the Lord's food and offered them to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Purvavat kona vipre kaila nimantrana seyuratri dahan rahi karila gamana. As usual, a Brahmana offered Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu an invitation. The Lord passed the night in the temple and then commenced his tour again. Prabhate utiya prabhu chalila prima vishe digvidiknahi jnana rachi divase. The next morning, in the great ecstasy of love, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started on his tour with no knowledge of the proper direction, and he continued the whole day and night. Purvavat Vaishnavakari Savaloka Gane Gadavari Tire Prabhu Aila Kata Dine. As previously, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu converted to Vaishnavism many people he met on the road. After some days, the Lord reached the banks of the river Godavari. Godavari deki ahila yamuna smarana tirivana deki smriti haila brindavana. When he saw the river Godavari, the Lord, wow, remembered the river Yamuna. And when he saw the forest on the banks of the river, he remembered Sri Vrindavana Dham. Sevani katakshana kari narichigana Godavari parana tahan kalasnana. After performing his usual chanting and dancing for some time in this forest, the Lord crossed the river and took his bath on the other bank. Gatakchari katakdure jala sanidhane vashi prabhu kare krishnanama sankirtane. After bathing in the river, the Lord walked a little distance from the bathing place and engaged in chanting the holy name of Krishna. Hena kale dalaya chari ramananda roy snana karivari aila bhajana bhajaya. At that time, accompanied by the sounds of music, Ramananda Roy came there on a palanquin to take his bath. I think I'm going to show you some pictures of the Godavari, if that's all right. Let's see, I think I have some pictures here from my trip. Give me one secondito. To get those pictures. Ooh. I thought I had the pictures all set. Yes. Here we go. Vijayanagara. This is called Vijayanagara. Just a few pictures. Okay. Let me share. Whoops. Here's a picture of our ISKCON deities at Vijayanagara. And that's Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Radha and Krishna next to them. And here's, we stayed at the temple, and we, devotees, took prasadam. They're very, very hospitable. In South India, the devotees are very, very hospitable. They're willing to serve guests like anything. So many idlis, and sambar, and different things like that. Devotees were enjoying. And here we are, coming to the ISKCON temple in Vijayanagara, along the banks of the Godavari River. And there's the Godavari River. All the rivers in India actually are holy places. So the devotees are taking darshan at the Godavari River. And right along the banks of the Godavari River, there's a little temple there signifying the place where Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy, these of course are deities of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Ramananda Roy having this discussion, which Srila Prabhupada wrote on in a book called the Ramananda Samvada, and also we're going to read about this discussion in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So let's go back to the Chaitanya Charitamrita now. Alrighty. Here we go. So at that time, accompanied by the sounds of music, Ramananda Roy came there on a palanquin to take his bath. Tanra sangi bahu aila vaidika brahmana vidimate kaila deno snanadi tarpana. Many brahmanas following the Vedic principles accompanied Ramananda Roy. According to the Vedic rituals, Ramananda Roy took his bath and offered oblations to his forefathers. Okay. And as I mentioned before, Ramananda Roy is Vishaka. He's incarnation of Vishaka, or avatar, sorry, that's more appropriate. He's an avatar of Vishaka who appeared. We'll get to that point. I'll answer that question in a second. He's an avatar of Vishaka Devi. Prabhu Tanre Deki Janila Hi Ramananda Roy Tanhara Milite Prabhu Ramana Uti Daya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could understand that the person who had come to bathe in the river was Ramananda Roy. The Lord wanted so much to meet him that his mind immediately began running after him. Now, the reason that Ramananda Roy was accompanied by elephants and bands and a whole entourage was that Ramananda Roy was the governor of that particular province. He had been appointed by King Prataparudra, who was the king of that whole area, including Jagannath Puri. So, Tatapi Daira Dari Prabhu Ahila Vasya Ramananda Ilapapurva Sanyasi Dekiya. Although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was running after him mentally, he patiently remained sitting. Ramananda Roy, seeing the wonderful sannyasi, approached him. Surya Shatasama Kanti Aruna Vasana Subalita Pakanda Deha Kamala Lochana. Srila Ramananda Roy then saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be as brilliant as 100 suns. Wow. The Lord was covered by a saffron garment. He was large in body and very strongly built, and his eyes were like lotus petals. Dekhiya tanaramane haila chamatkara Asya karila dandavat namaskara. When Ramananda Roy saw the wonderful sannyasi, he was struck with wonder. He went to him and immediately offered his respectful obeisances, falling down flat like a rod. Uti Prabhu Kahe, Uta Kaha Krishna Krishna, Tare Alingite Prabhura Hridaya Satsrishna. The Lord stood up and asked Ramananda Roy to arise and chant the holy name of Krishna. Indeed, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very eager to embrace him. Tatapi puchila tumi rayo ramananda Teno kahe sehana dasa shudra manda. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then inquired whether it was Ramananda Roy, and he replied, "Yes, I am your very low servant, and I belong to the Shudra community." Tabe tare kaila prabhu drida lingana Premaveshe prabhu vritya donaya chaitana. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then embraced Ramananda Roy very firmly. Indeed, both the master and servant almost lost consciousness due to ecstatic love. So the question that was raised in the chat window. Let's see who raised it. Gotta check out. Let's see. Anyway, the question that was raised in the chat window is, it's from Jai Radhika. What reason did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embrace Ramananda Roy? Is it Radharani meeting Vishakha or Krishna meeting Aruna? Krishna meeting Aruna. Oh, Arjuna. Or because Ramananda Roy is Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's friends. Anyway, I have to expand this so I can see more of the chat window. Friend and first class devotee. Okay, I'll tell you the reason he embraced them. First of all, they're eternal associates. There's Krishna and Vishakha. That's one level. Another level is Radha, because Lord Chaitanya was in the mood of Radha, embracing her friend, Vishakha. Another level, the exoteric reason was that Lord Chaitanya was showing Kiva Vipra, Kiva Nyashi, Shudra Kinana, Ye Krishna Tattva Veta, Say Guru Hoy, that we don't pay attention to class distinctions when we're dealing with Vaishnavas. To see a Vaishnava in accordance with their body or is identified with their body means that one has hellish intelligence. To see a deity made of stone or wood means one is of hellish intelligence. So Lord Chaitanya was showing by this embracing that a Vaishnava is not to be considered a member of a particular caste. Jati Buddhi, that's improper intelligence. So that's perhaps the most important reason, but also the Lord loves his devotees. Lord Chaitanya embraced many of his devotees because there's love between Vaishnavas. Even if you take Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy as a sannyasi and a Vaishnava, a Vaishnava sannyasi and a Vaishnava householder, still there's love between the devotees. And Srila Prabhupada writes in his commentary on Rupa Goswami's Upadeshamrita, this famous verse, Tadati Pratri Grinati Guyam Akyati Prishti Bhunkte Bhoshite Chaira, that Vaishnavas have to have loving exchanges. Priti Lakshanam, the symptom of a Vaishnava is loving exchanges. So we love other Vaishnavas. I mean, of course, we don't have men embracing women. Obviously, we don't do that because that's something different, unless they're married. But, you know, we feel love for each other. So there's nothing wrong with this. And we don't distinguish between sannyasi Vaishnava, brahmachari Vaishnava, grahastha Vaishnava, like that, or man Vaishnava, or Vaishnavi. It's actually very interesting. We have this whole discussion going on the internet now about Vaishnavi Diksha Gurus. And that means that those who have female bodies can actually become gurus. And I'm very much in favor of that, pushing it enthusiastically. But some of those who are opposed, they want to change the name of the discussion from VDG to FDG. If you don't understand what I'm saying, they want to put it on the bodily platform. So they want to change the discussion from Vaishnavi Diksha Gurus to female Diksha Gurus. First of all, if someone identifies themselves as a male or a female, they can't be a Diksha Guru. I mean, we understand we're walking around with a certain type of body. That's obvious, Prabhu or Prabhi. Just like I know I have a certain type of car. I really know it. So, but I don't identify myself as that car. And it doesn't really matter my position as a Vaishnava or aspiring Vaishnava or as a spiritual master. It doesn't matter what type of car I drive. You say, oh, you could only be a Vaishnava guru if you drive a Tesla. Or at least a Mercedes. Or at least a Maserati. But if you drive a Volkswagen, you cannot be a guru. No, that's stupid. So we should not distinguish according to the body. So Lord Chaitanya is showing this. You know, here's someone ostensibly is a Shudra, and everyone is shocked. You're going to hear about this. Everyone is shocked. How can this high-class sannyasi embrace a Shudra? And why is the Shudra embracing a sannyasi and crying? He's a very learned Shudra. Anyway, you're going to hear about this. Swabhavika prema donhara udaya karila dunha halingiya dunhe umite padila. Their natural love for each other was awakened in them both, and they embraced and fell to the ground. Srila Ramananda Roy was an incarnation of the Gopi Vishaka. Since Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Lord Krishna himself, there was naturally an awakening of love between Vishaka and Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the combination of Srimati Radharani and Krishna, and the Gopi Vishaka is a principal gopi assisting Srimati Radharani. This is the two reasons I talked about, the internal reasons. Thus, the natural love between Ramananda Roy and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu awakened and they embraced. What's wrong with that? Stamba Sveda, symptoms of ecstasy. Ashru Kampa Pulaka, Vaibhanya, Dunhara Mukheti Shuni, Gad Gadha Krishna Varna. When they embraced each other, ecstatic symptoms, paralysis, perspiration, tears, shivering, paleness and standing up of the bodily hairs appeared. The word Krishna came from their mouths falteringly. Dekiya brahmana ganera haila chamatkara vaidika brahmana sabe akarena vichara. When the stereotyped, ritualistic brahmanas who were following the Vedic principles saw this ecstatic manifestation of love, they were struck with wonder. All these brahmanas began to reflect as follows. They were bewildered because they were caste conscious. They were bodily conscious. They were into all this Vidhi's rules and regulations, and they were not so much aware of the higher position of Vaishnavas. Eta sanyasira teja deke brahma sama shudreya lingya kene karena krandana. The brahmanas thought, we can see that this sannyasi has a luster like the effulgence of Brahman. But how is it that he's crying upon embracing a shudra, member of the fourth caste in the social order? Now, just explaining to you how, it's important to explain, how much discrimination there is between the castes in India. Shoo! As far as marriages are concerned, mixing or living in the same neighborhood, or talking to one another, or even touching one another. I mean, it's dangerous if someone from a lower caste approaches and tries to shake the hand of someone in a higher caste. And even previously, if someone from a lower caste would step on a shadow of someone in a higher caste, someone in a Shudra caste, or whether considered to be outcast, or fifth caste, they could get killed. Such crazy racism, casteism, horrible. We in the Krishna Conscious Movement are against racism, casteism, whatever isms you can come up with, except for Krishnaism. E Maharaja Mahapandita Gambira Sanyasira Svarshi Mata Haila Ashtira. They thought this Ramananda Roy is the governor of Madras. That's Chennai. A highly learned and grave person, a Mahapandit. But upon touching this sannyasi, he has become restless like a madman. So they're seeing another problem here. Ramananda Roy, even though he's from the Shudra caste, he's very sober, learned, peaceful. And now he's crying like a madman, a crazy man. What's in here? E mata vipradana bhave mane mana vishati aloka deke a prabhu kaila sambarana. The brahmanas were thinking in this way about the activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw those outsiders and restrained his transcendental emotions. Very important. We don't want to exhibit spiritual symptoms of ecstasy in front of people who could criticize or commit offenses or take it cheaply. Can you imagine? Let's say if I was to show some symptoms of ecstasy, let's say in class right now. Okay, we're giving class. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Let's say all of a sudden I would start crying. Oh, Chaitanya, Chaitanya. Woo! And rolling on the ground, my camera, which follows me. See? Follows me. So the camera would follow me onto the ground, rolling in front of my deities. Oh, Giriraj. Then I would have like thousands of people following my by example. So we don't manifest our internal moods in front of those people who are not on that platform. Ramananda Roy was intimately related to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, he can be accepted as a sajatiya, a person within the intimate circle of the Lord. The brahmanas, however, were followers of Vedic rituals and were not able to have an intimate connection with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Consequently, they are called vijatiya loka. In other words, they were not pure devotees. They were outside. One may be a highly learned Brahmin, but if he is not a pure devotee, he is a vijatiya, an outcast, one outside devotional service, in other words, a non-devotee. Although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy were embracing in ecstasy, the Lord restrained his transcendental emotions upon seeing the outsider Brahmanas. That's natural. Shushtahana dunhe se stane te vasila tabe hase Mahaprabhu kahite lagila. Right? When they regain their sanity, They both sat down, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smiled and began to speak as follows. Sarvabhoma Bhattacharya Karila Tomara Gune Tomare Milite More Karila Yatune. Sarvabhoma Bhattacharya spoke of your good qualities, and he made a great endeavor to convince me to meet you. Toma mini bare mora ita agamana balahela anayase hailundarashana. Indeed, I have come here just to meet you. It is very good that even without making an effort, I have gotten your interview here. Rayak kahe sarvabhamakare brichadhyana rukshaya mora hite haya. Sarvadana. Ramananda Roy replied, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya thinks of me as a servant. Even in my absence, he is very careful to do me good. Tanra kripaya paindu tumara darashana ajisa palahaila mora manusha janama. By his mercy, I have received your interview here. Consequently, I consider that today I've become a successful human being. Sarvabhome tumara kripa tara echina asprisha sparshileyana tanra primadina. I can see that you have bestowed special mercy upon Sarvabhoma Bhattacharya. Therefore, you have touched me, although I am untouchable. This is due only to his love for you. In other words, even though Ramananda Roy is a pure devotee, he's a Vishaka, he's showing us, you know, the external message we're getting here is that if you are dear to a Vaishnava, then you become dear to Krishna automatically. In other words, he's saying the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving him mercy because of his connection with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So we can say that we are getting Krishna's mercy because of our connection with his divine grace, A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, and his sincere servants. Otherwise, what quality do we have? What right do we have to have the association of Krishna? Kahan tumi sakshat Ishvara Narayana Kahan muni rajasevi vishaya Shudradama. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan himself, and I am only a government servant interested in materialistic activities. Indeed, I am the lowest among men of the fourth caste. Fourth caste means Shudra. Mora sparshe nakari lagrina veda bhoya mora darshana toma vede nishedoya. You do not fear the Vedic injunction stating that you should not associate with a Shudra. You are not contemptuous of my touch, although in the Vedas you are forbidden to associate with Shudras. In the Bhagavad Gita, 9:32, the Lord says, Mami Bharta Vyapashritya Yepiyu Papayon Yepiyu Shu Papayoniyaha Thiravaishasata Shudras Tepiyanti Param Gatim. Was unappointed to those who take shelter of me, although they be of lower birth, women, vices, merchants, as well as shudras, workers can attain the supreme destination. The word Papa Yoniya means born into a lower class. According to the Vedic system of classification, women, vices, and shudras belong to a lower social order. Just talking about social order now. We're not talking about spiritual things. We're not talking about who you are. So don't get upset with this. Don't get upset. It's just social order. A low life means a life without Krishna consciousness. High and low positions in society are calculated considering a person's Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada is saying, with this social order, we don't accept. We accept high and low positions in society are calculated by considering a person's Krishna consciousness. The Brahman is considered to be on the highest platform because he knows Brahman, the absolute truth. The second caste, the Kshatriya caste, also knows Brahman. But not as well as the Brahman is. The Vaishya and Shudras do not clearly understand God consciousness, but if they take the Krishna consciousness by the mercy of Krishna and the spiritual master, they do not remain in the lower caste, papayomiya. It is clearly stated, tepi yanti param gatim. Unless one has attained the highest standard of life, one cannot return home back to Godhead. One may be a Shudra Vaishya, a woman or man, but if one is situated in the service of the Lord Krishna consciousness, one should not be considered Sri Shudra Vaishya or lower than Shudra. Although a person may be from a low-born family, if he is engaged in the Lord's service, he should never be considered to belong to a low-born family. The Padma Purana forbids Vikshate Jati Samanyat Sayati Narakam Dhruvam. A person goes to hell quickly when he considers a devotee to the Lord in terms of birth. Wow. Let me copy this. I got to send this to some of the people. This is an important verse. Hold on a second. I have to copy this and send it to some people who should understand this. Just give me a second. It's important for my service. Alright. I copied. Just let me email it out. Just, you have to excuse me as I go into my email program and send it out. This is, oh, I know what I need to do. Alright. It's important. Because this is a quote. It's really important. Got it. Slam dunk. Sorry about that. Although Sri Ramananda Roy supposedly took birth in a Shudra family, he is not to be considered Shudra, for he was a great advanced devotee. Indeed, he was on the transcendental platform. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore embraced him out of spiritual humility. Sri Ramananda Roy presented himself as a Shudra, Raja, Sivi, Vishayi, Shudradhama. Even though one may engage in government service or in any other pound, shilling, pence business, in short, a materialistic life, one need only take to Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is a very simple process. One need only chant the holy name of the Lord, the holy names of the Lord, and strictly follow the principles forbidding sinful activity. In this way, one can no longer be considered an untouchable Vishaya or Shudra. One who is advanced in spiritual life should not associate with non-devotees, namely men in government service and men engaged in materialistic activities for sense gratification or in the service of others. Such men are considered to be shy, materialistic. It is said, Niskinchanasya Bhagavat Bhajanon Mukasya Param Param Jigam Ishor Bhava Sagarasya Sandarshanam Vishayinayam Mata Yoshitam Cha Hahanta Hanta Visha Vakshanato Yasadu. A person who is very seriously engaged in cultivating devotional service with a view to crossing the ocean of nations and who has completely abandoned all material activities should never see a Shudra, Vishayi, or a woman. Sri Chaitanya Chandrodaya Nataka 8:23. Let me explain this thing about a woman. That means also, or a man looking to enjoy them. Because this is, we are all actually women from a ontological perspective, but we are thinking ourselves Purusha, whether we have a male body or a female body, we're thinking ourselves Purusha, and we're looking at other bodies to enjoy them, which is actually abuse. You know, sometimes, you know, obviously we're against things like child abuse or spousal abuse or things like that. But if we try to enjoy anyone, we're abusing them. So if we look, if a woman looks upon a man with desire to enjoy them, that's the same thing that's being mentioned here. So try to understand this, not a verse against women. But it's written from a man's perspective because the men are writing the verse. So don't worry. It's not meant to criticize women. Because Prabhupada said, let me try to remember exactly what Prabhupada said about it. For a woman, a man is a woman, and for a woman is a woman. Anyways, it's kind of funny. In other words, men are trying to exploit women. Women are trying to exploit men. And if people are homosexuals, they're trying to exploit the same sex, try to enjoy the body of someone else. Can you imagine that? How gross and gruesome that is? Try to enjoy someone's body? Yuck. It is absolutely disgusting. So, Tamara Kripaya, Tamaya Taraya, Ninja Karma, Sakshadi Shvetatumi, Kejani Tamara Marma. You are the Supreme Personality of God in Himself, therefore no one can understand your purpose. By your mercy you are touching me, although this is not sanctioned in the Vedas. A sannyasi is strictly forbidden to see the Vishayis, the materialistic people, but Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, out of his boundless and causeless mercy, could show favor to anyone regardless of birth and position. There's actually injunctions that is, if a sannyasi even sees a materialistic person, they're supposed to immediately run to the Ganges, jump in, don't even put on their bathing suit on, and get themselves all wet. And unfortunately, the Ganges is not here, and so we can't carry around a spray bottle of Ganges water all the time. So what are we going to do? I tell you what we're going to do. Hare Krishna. When we chant Hare Krishna, that is as purifying, more purifying than repeated bathings in the Ganges. And associating with a pure devotee like Srila Prabhupada is more purifying than repeated bathings in the Ganges. Svadunyapo nishevaya is, that's what the Bhagavatam says. Ama nistarite tumara hihanagamana paramadayalu tumi patitabhavana. You have come here specifically to deliver me. You are so merciful that you alone can deliver all the fallen souls. Srila Narottama Das Thakur sings in his Prarthana 39. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Daya Kora More Toma Vina Ke Dayalu Jagat Samsare Patita Pavana Hetu Tava Avatar Mosama Patita Prabhu Na Paibe Aro. My dear Lord, please be merciful to me. Who can be more merciful than your Lordship within these three worlds? You appear as an incarnation just to reclaim the conditioned fallen souls, but I assure you that you will not find a soul more fallen than me. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's specific mission is to deliver fallen souls. Of course, in this age of Kali, there is hardly anyone who has not fallen according to the calculations of Vedic behavior. In his instructions to Rupa Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described the so-called followers of Vedic religion in this way, Majalila, 19.146, Veda Nishta Madhye Ardeka Veda Mukhe Mane Veda Nishada Papakare Dharma Nahi Gane. Okay, let's finish. Whoops. What happened here? Okay. So-called followers of Vedic principles simply accept the Vedas formally, but they act against Vedic principles. This is symptomatic of this age of Kali. People claim to follow a certain type of religion, saying formally, I am Hindu, I am Muslim, I am Christian, I am this or that, but actually, no one follows the principles enunciated in religious scriptures. This is the disease of the age. Therefore, the merciful Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has simply advised us to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Hare Arnama, Hare Arnama, Hare Arnama, Iva Kevalam, Chaitanya Charitamritadi Lila 1721, the Lord can deliver anyone and everyone, even though one may have fallen from the injunctions of the revealed scriptures. This is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's special mercy. Consequently, he is known as Patita Pavana, the deliverer of the fallen souls. So we should ask to be delivered. Not like Amazon delivers. So we ended with 38. Okay, 6 to 38 today. So now we'll take some questions from all of you. And we'll unmute you first. All right. Unmute. allow participants to unmute. First, a question from Atma Nandini, Devi Dasi. It appears that Mahaprabhu's Radha Baba was most manifest in Puri and his devotee feature was dominant when he traveled outside Puri. Yes. Yep. You are right. Because Puri is basically Vipralamba Dham. Vipralamba Dham means where there's mood, the mood of separation from Krishna. Because you have the Rath Yatra ceremony in which signifies the gopis and the residents of Vrindavan dragging Krishna back to Vrindavan. Yes. As they were meeting Krishna and Kaur, etc. So, yes. So Radha Bhav was most manifest in Jagannath Puri. You are correct. Very true. All right, who else has a question? Speak now, forever. Hold your peace. Sri Radhika.
Hi, Krishna.
Oh, good to see you.
I had some questions.
For joining us. Okay.
I had a couple questions yesterday, but we ran out of time. Maharaj, you were mentioning that God Chaitanya stressed that we should stay in our position and we should serve in our position.
Right.
And at the same time, you also encourage Ramananda Roy to leave everything. So it's like, Could you reconcile that for me, please?
Okay. So, that's actually a very interesting point. First of all, Ramananda Roy had been serving in his position for a number of years and was time to retire. Just like you know, that staying in your position, according to Varnashram, means at a specific age you're supposed to, you know, stop doing economic development. But Ramananda Roy never took sannyas. He was a householder. Now, I haven't read anything about his wife or family or anything like that, but he was never a sannyasi. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not encourage him to take sannyas. There's no recognition, there's no history of him taking sannyas. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted him to join him in Jagannath Puri and help spread the message of Krishna consciousness, because basically in this way he would be most effective in spreading Krishna consciousness and helping Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with his mission. So I'm going to relate this to one of the principles that Srila Prabhupada laid out in the Krishna Conscious Movement, was that utility is the principle. Mm-hmm. You know, books are the basis, preaching is the essence, purity is the force, and utility is the principle. So whether or not one stays where they are or not stays where they are is determined upon what determines it is what is more effective insofar as pleasing Krishna. So that's why we have the first two principles of Sharanagati, which are to accept everything favorable, to reject everything unfavorable. So, I mean, for example, Srila Prabhupada did leave his home. Srila Prabhupada did not stay where he was. Because he tried his best in that situation to present Krishna consciousness and to satisfy his spiritual master's desire. But he was unable to any like measurable extent. And so therefore, he did what was most effective or most util in spreading Krishna consciousness, which means he gave up family life. So that's really the point. Whatever pleases Krishna more. Generally, the general instruction is, and generally it pleases Krishna more if someone stays with his family and makes them Krishna conscious. But in exceptional cases, then there can be other adjustments. So Ramananda Roy was definitely an exceptional case. But there's no information that I have that he gave up his family. In fact, there is information that he associated with even his birth family. He was associating with Babananda Roy, his father, and his brothers, who were actually considered the five Pandavas. So in fact, when he went back to Jagannath Puri, he was with his family. So he didn't really change his situation. He just like changed his job. So he didn't change his ashram. Now, on the other hand, you have Lord Chaitanya changed his ashram. So you could say that Lord Chaitanya didn't stick to his sthanistata shrutikatam dhanvan manobir. But there's two reasons for that. One, of course, it's a pastime. And Lord Chaitanya's wife was only 16 years old. Oh my God. It's like, you see, when Lord Chaitanya left his wife, it was like Ram sending Sita Devi away. Or was like Krishna leaving Vrindavan when he was 16. You know, Sita Devi was just like a teenager or whatever, maybe a little older. Actually, she was older because they had spent all those years in the Dandakaranya forest. So you see this mood of separation. So Lord Chaitanya took sannyas. The esoteric reason is to actually bring out this mood of separation between him and Vishnupriya. And the exoteric reason, the apparent reason, or the reason that everybody understands, was that it was necessary for him to spread Krishna consciousness. So sometimes in exceptional circumstances, one has to break the rule of staying in the same situation. But don't worry, we won't tell your husband to do that. Don't get all nervous about it. It's not going to happen. So, is that all right? You have any other questions?
That's right. So we are encouraged to chant all the time.
Right.
And we understand that an offense to be inattentive while chanting. Now, I understand about our vrata, our minimum 16 rounds in a day, that we really should not be doing anything else while we're chanting those rounds. But when we're doing other things around the house, you know, it's encouraged. We chant all the time. And yet I'm not being fully attentive because I'm focusing on other things. I'm driving or I'm cooking. So I'm wondering if that actually creates, you know, knots in the heart, because I am being inattentive while I'm chanting.
No. It's only when one is fulfilling one's role or vrat to chant 16 rounds or 32 rounds or 64 rounds that particular day. When you're dedicated, you know, obviously, you know, I also, when I'm going to sleep at night, I chant myself to sleep. So that would be considered inattentive chanting because, you know, obviously the mind starts to fade away when you go to sleep. But I would consider that only when you're performing your sadhana, that particular rule, inattentive chanting. Obviously, because you should chant while you're driving your car, you should chant while you're cooking, you should chant while you're changing the diapers of your child. Obviously, yuck. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. I would definitely chant if I had to do something like that. That would be the only way I'd be able to do something like that. All right? Okay, that's it? Okay. Now we have some questions in the chat window here. Okay. Oh my God. A long prangam. Abhay Prabhu once asked Srila Bhakti Srila Sarasvati Thakur about the relevance of boga in enjoyment and fun, citing the behavior of Rupa Goswami, Lepidavan, and Sri Chirmana, right, who served Lord Chaitanya's and opulent house, so both were idle. Yet one renounced everything, whereas the other remained a family. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur replied that by giving example, a woman in Vedic culture would dress when her husband was absent, she would wear plain clothes, no ornaments, and not comb her hair. But when she was at home, she would bathe twice daily, dress herself attractively. What's this all about? Apply perfumed oil and ornaments to her hair, and acceptance of renunciation. Similarly, a devotee is prepared to renounce everything for the sake of serving Krishna, yet is also willing to live in luxury if it's helpful. Yes, that's the point. Utility is the principle. That's You said in 1,000 words what I said in 5 words. Brevity is the soul of wit. Bhakti Vikash's book narrated this question of Srila Prabhupada to his guru about Ramananda Roy's position. Yes, a devotee should be ready to accept everything if Krishna wants, or give up everything. Like Vinod Thakur, he had so many children. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was a renunciate, a Naishthiki Brahmachari. So we shouldn't look at a devotee externally. A devotee is doing what pleases Krishna. He's accepting everything that pleases Krishna and rejecting everything that displeases Krishna. This is Sharanagati. And then he's understanding the Lord is always maintaining him, the Lord is always protecting him, and he's always meek and humble, and he has no separate interest other than the interest of the Lord. Yes, that's exactly right. So who else has a point? Anybody else want to ask a question? No? So should we end early tonight? It's not that early. Got one time for one more question. Pran Govinda, you have a question?
Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. All goes to Prabhupada.
Okay. So what's Maharaj, the question?
Regarding the previous chapter, you are mentioning a couple of times about this mukti. And you have given a very vast explanation. But then I was thinking also how a devotee would serve to the Lord in spiritual world without mukti automatically comes.
How would the devotee serve in the spiritual world without mukti automatically coming?
Yeah, mukti is like a component. In order to serve him, I have to be near him. In that
yes.
planet, I have to have that... whatever.
Oh, you're talking about the four types of Vaishnava liberation.
Correct.
That's right, what you're talking about? Yes. Yeah. Prabhupada's, we're not against it, but a devotee doesn't ask for it.
You mean separately from bhakti?
No, a devotee doesn't ask for it. A devotee simply says, manma janmani janmani svare bhavatad bhakti ahaituki tvaye. And if Krishna wants, what is that? Not that verse. That a devotee, he just wants to do what the Lord wants. That's it. He's not asking for anything else. You understand? That's a pure devotee.
Yes.
And if Krishna wants me to go back to Godhead, then he'll give me a spiritual body. He'll give me a place on his planet, Salokya, Samipya, you know, whatever opulences I require, if Krishna wants it. But I'm not asking for any of those things. I don't want to go back to Godhead unless Krishna wants me to go back to Godhead. That's a pure devotee. But in the meantime, because we're not pure devotees, we should want to go back to Godhead. Prabhupada said, when a devotee said, I don't want to go back to Godhead, I just want to serve life after life, Prabhupada said, no, you should want to go back to Godhead. Because the guy was not a pure devotee. And the guy was not being honest. It's like, you know, there was one boy who came to Prabhupada, and he said, Prabhupada, I want to be a sannyasi. And Prabhupada said, you should get married. And then the next day, he brought his fiancée to meet Prabhupada. So, Prabhupada, I'd like you to... I said, maybe next week. Maybe it wasn't that quick. So he brought his fiancée. He said, Prabhupada, do I have your blessings to marry this pretty girl? He didn't say pretty girl, obviously. This nice devotee. This sweet little Brahmacharini. And so, Prabhupada, so Prabhupada understood that this devotee was not ready to have that sort of aspiration. You know, so it's very artificial for people who are not pure devotees to say, I simply want to take birth after birth in this material world. Because they don't. They want liberation, or they're looking for knowledge, or they're looking for relief from distress, or they're looking for money, or, you know, opulence. Chaturbhidha bhajanti mam. Everybody who's not a pure devotee has some mixed motives. Isn't it? And if we try to imitate, you know, if I just say to you, Pran Govinda, oh, I simply want to take birth after birth in the material world. You know, it's not honest. Instead, if I say to you, oh, I simply want a nice car, at least that's honest. No, it's not. It's not what I want. But anyway, if I say, I want to go back to Godhead to get out of this material world so I can eat all the fruit from the desire trees and have the ice cream from the Surabhi cows. That's an honest statement. Right?
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of intellectual dishonesty that we devotees manifest when we try to imitate a pure devotee. Anusar anukar, you understand? We should follow in the footsteps, but we don't imitate. You know, so just be honest. I want to go back to Godhead, Krishna. I want to see the cows and everything. But really, if I was a pure devotee, my mood would be, Krishna, send me wherever you want. Make me a demon. Whatever you want, I'll serve you. Krishna, if you want me to be Ravana, I'll serve you as Ravana.
Maharaj, I cannot be like that. I mean, I'll be scared.
Well, if you want to go back to Godhead, that's a prerequisite. If you want to be a pure devotee, ultimately you have to come to that platform. But just be honest. At least you're honest. It's scary. It's scary. If you say to Krishna, do whatever you want with me, if you want me to go to hell, if you want me to go to heaven, if you want me to go back to Godhead, if you want me to be a demon in your pastimes, I'll do it, Krishna. I'm surrendered to you 100%. That's scary, isn't it?
Yes.
So that's a pure devotee's mentality. And it's scary. It's really scary.
Maharaj, how do you interpret when Bhakti Chara Maharaj expressed he misses Prabhupada? I had that lecture about 9 days before he left. That he actually expressed that he misses Prabhupada and he wants to be with Prabhupada. That's also a strong desire to...
Yeah, well, that's a pure desire. That I miss my Guru Maharaj, I want to be with him, intense feelings of separation. Yes, that's actually a very elevated desire. A very elevated, very, very elevated desire. We should aspire for that desire, you know, just to feel separation from our spiritual master and Prabhupada. Instead, you know, me, I just miss prasadam. I'm just waiting for class to be over so I can eat, you know, me, you know.
You're just too humble, Maharaj.
No, I'm just too truthful. Okay, so anyway, we have to end. All glories to His Divine Grace. Srila Prabhupada, see everybody tomorrow, same time, same station. Anyway.